I wonder if we could just bow in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we have been so blessed by your presence among us. Dear Lord, we sit at your table and we partake of your abundance, not just things, Father, to listen and set aside, dear Lord, but to partake of and to walk in, to experience, dear Lord, those things that you are setting before us. Father, you fill us to overflowing that we might be strengthened, Father, and we might grow. You also, Father, fit us into this tremendous body that you are bringing together that we might have a place in it, dear Lord, that we might participate in the things that you are doing, Father, among us. We are so thankful, dear Lord, for that this morning. We are beginning to realize, dear Lord, little by little, the greatness of your work among us and how much we depend, Father, upon the leading of your Spirit, how much we depend upon our other members of the body, even as we have just heard a few minutes ago, Father, as we are being fit in together in our place before you, dear Lord, according to your plan. Father, this morning we just pause to remember the family of Brother Thorolf Noreen. Father, these things cannot happen without touching us all, dear Lord. We feel, dear Father, that sadness, dear Lord, in learning these things, even though we understand a little that this is not an end, but Father, still, it is a time of change, and it is a time of sadness for those that are most affected by that. We just stand with Noreen this morning and with all of the family, dear Lord. May your comfort and your spirit and your peace, Father, just be with them, we pray. And we thank you, dear Lord. Praise God. Amen. 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 There's just some thoughts this morning, Lord willing. Let's leave with you. I always appreciate the way that the Spirit speaks to us in a very simple way. And yet, as we begin to see His working, it just... You know, as we've been ministered to even in this camp, how it just stirs your heart to see the genuine working of the Spirit among us. He takes his truth and he breaks it down for us in a very simple way. And I just thinking this morning, you know, as we were coming to the service, the way it is, and I know there's a scripture that says something about this, but I don't think I could find it quickly. But the Lord, it's almost like someone asking you for directions. That when they come and they ask you for directions, you don't give them this long, complicated story. At least if you do that for me, I will be lost for sure. But you give them pretty straight, simple directions because there is a purpose in it. You want them to find their way and end up where they're supposed to go. And it just seems that when the Lord speaks to us, it's that way. It's not in complex, difficult to understand things, but it's in a way that we can lay hold of it. And when we take these things in, we are able to walk more perfectly on the way that we're supposed to walk. He doesn't really want his children just kind of wandering around hoping that they're doing the right thing. He wants to lay out for us a path that we can really lay hold of and walk in. And I have found that. Brother Smith mentioned to you this morning about the work in Africa, and we've spoken about the work in India and other places. And everywhere, it's that way. You don't bring a complex message, but it's very straightforward. And then we go back and we visit these places after some time, and you say, all right, brethren, this is what was laid down. How's it coming? And you begin to look for the evidence of that. And line upon line, and a little here and a little there, and you begin to look for that order to come and the evidence of those things to come forth. And it seems like that is how the Lord works with us. He says to us, all right, you know, this is the way that I'm leading you. This is what is right. This is how you should walk. And he begins to look for the evidence of that in our life. Praise God. I'd just like to read this morning, it's kind of along this line, that they all may be one. I've just been thinking a little bit along the line of that subject. And in John, the 17th chapter, and it just seemed in this chapter of John that Jesus was summing up. He was not too far from going to the cross that we are celebrating this weekend, going through that act. And it just seemed in reading this chapter, he was summing up where things were and bringing out some important points for us to just note. Now, if we can just start in the first John 17 and verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's not very hard for us to understand. He's bringing us into that relationship with his Father. And he said, there's no other door. There's no other way. There's no other path. We have had the experience, most of us here, of having him come into our life and change our life. My life was transformed by that experience. I'm probably not the only one. You know, you have a certain idea that you're going to do, and then Jesus comes into your life, and your life is changed by that. And your steps are turned in a way that will lead you towards the Father. And He is at work in our life, that is the process that's taking place, that change that is bringing us into that relationship. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And it's pretty clear, you know, when you read that Jesus came for a specific reason. You know, there was a time in the in his early days when he was living with his mother and father that they went to the, I think it was to the feast, and then they were returning home. And you can kind of visualize what this is like, as there's a 12-year-old boy that he's traveling somewhere with all this family that has gone here and they're coming back. But when they get home, he can't be found. And they begin to get a little worried about that. And they travel back. They go back to try to find him. And they find him. And there he is, this 12-year-old boy is sitting down discussing things and arguing the points of the scripture with the leaders of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's discussing with them. And his mother and father were really, I mean, they were upset. But he said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? He knew, even at that young age, that his life had a purpose and a direction. And he was there to fulfill that purpose. And somehow that the knowledge of something to that end was already there in his heart. But he said, I have And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Just in the previous verse. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. And you know, just reading that, I never really noticed that before. But Jesus is saying, there were those individuals, before I ever came to earth, there were those men and women that were already walking and communing and in the place where the Lord was working in their life. The Lord had set them apart. And then when Jesus came to earth, the Lord, the Father added those that were there to the work that he was doing. And there was no, I don't know the right word there, but when Jesus began to speak to them, the same Spirit was there. They recognized that. They had been walking as the Lord had been leading them. And when Jesus began to speak to them, they recognized that is the same Spirit speaking to me. And you know, there's the story of Simeon, and when Jesus was being dedicated, they brought him into the temple, this baby, to be dedicated to the Lord, to go through that process. And immediately, Simeon recognized, you know, not by the outward appearance. I don't think there was any little halo around his head or anything like that. But somehow, by the Spirit, this is the fulfillment of the promise that the Lord has made. He was walking in the place where the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to his heart. And he was longing for the things that the Lord would bring to pass. And when this baby arrived on the scene, the Spirit of the Lord was there to say, this is the answer to those things. And he walked that way. And others, you know, as Jesus began to minister and minister those things, others recognized that is the word of the Lord unto me, and they were added to that company. I pray for I have given unto them the words that thou gavest to me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. And he began to lay out there in prayer that he was asking that unity that is there between the Father and the Son be there also amongst his people. And I don't know. I mean, it's easy for me to kind of visualize a unity between Christ and the Father when you read the Scriptures, and somehow you just kind of feel that there must be that perfect relationship. No difficulties there at all. That what the Father says, the Son just walks in line with that, and when the Father gives direction, the Son just follows through, and there's that unity there. I don't have much trouble accepting that. It's when I have to walk with you, and you have to walk with me, and this body has to come together, and we have to fit together at that same level. That is the work that the Spirit of the Lord is doing among us. That is the place that He is bringing us into. That is the work of His Spirit in our heart and life. You know, we may not be at the point of completion, but we are on the road. We are on the road for those things to come to pass. The Lord is at work. Sometimes we wonder about maybe some of the experiences that come into our life. But the Lord is making these vessels pliable so that they can fit together and submit to the ministry and the working of one another. Just as our brother mentioned here this morning, you know, he is saying things that I don't know anything about. He is explaining things that are important that I would not pick up on. And yet, there's a place for me to listen to that and to adjust. And this body is coming together in that way, to that same level. And somehow it just seems like in the work that the Lord has for us, that place is a perfect place. That work is a perfect work. It's not as though it gets to some place, well, it's better. You know, and you know, we're kind of happy now where things are at. It's not better until it comes to that full perfection. And it just seems in the work, and this last little while, it just seems to be that the Lord is just speaking kind of along those lines, that His work in us and among us, He is not taking any shortcuts in that. None whatsoever. He will work on this person here until the job is done and done right. But when He set out for us things like salvation, He didn't make any compromise in that. There was a sacrifice that was necessary. He made that. We were able to enter into that. And it just seems that His work, even though we can't really comprehend the magnitude of what He is doing, it just seems that work is coming together in perfection and in completion. And it will not stop until it reaches that destination and that completion. Just thinking as Brother Miller was ministering to us last night about the brethren that have gone before us. And I have been so blessed by those brethren. So blessed. Even today, you know, we pick up the writings of these brethren or we listen to the teachings. And we have been just so blessed by that. But you know, that work did not end when the Lord changed the direction of their walk for a period. And we don't know. Who knows what they're doing at this moment? As someone mentioned here about, you know, that spiritual aspect of being in our gatherings, we don't know. We see with our eyes and we hear with our ears, but there's much that we don't see. But regardless, those brethren have come to a place where they have laid a foundation. And that is not discarded. There is no way that any aspect of that work is discarded and laid aside. We are reading today from words that are written here by men that have gone hundreds of years before us. Things have been written by the prophets that are hundreds of years before our time. And none of that has passed away. We take that, it fits in today, and we build upon what has gone before. And although we cannot grasp with our intellect the magnitude and the scope of what the Lord is doing, He has the oversight of all that is going on, and He is observing, and He is working, and He is helping, until those things come to place in a way that is right in His own judgment, in His own sight. And that's when He will say, all right, that is done. That work of unity among us will come to the place until it is done, until it is there, until those words are accomplished, perfectly. You know, I read from time to time the story of creation. And you can read there in a very brief number of passages of scriptures, tremendous things are unfolded. I mean, we read this with our small understanding, and you know, 99.99999% goes over our head, but there's a fraction there that you can recognize that the Spirit of the Lord purposed something and then fulfilled it. And step by step, as that was being unfolded, it came to the place where the Lord said, that work is complete and it's done and it's right. And he said it. He saw the first day and it was good. The only reason it was good is because it lined up exactly with his will. And he is working among us, generation by generation. Many that we have not met before have participated. Many that will follow will also participate. But he is bringing it together until it comes to that place of perfection. And he will be able to say, it is good, it is right, it is exactly the way that it should be. That doesn't depend on me. That doesn't depend. If I fall short, his work will not fall short. I will miss out. There's that possibility that if I depart from what the Lord has revealed and the things that you know are right, if at some point I lay that aside, that will not hamper what the Lord is doing. It will just, he will have to deal with that. He will either correct that in my walk, or I will separate myself from what the Lord is doing. But it's just been that thought over the last little while that the Lord works and does whatever is necessary to bring that into a place of perfection. We may give up on one another. You might give up on me. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that's true, that you say, well, you know, I don't know how this is going to work. The Lord will never, he never declares something except that he knows that he's able to bring it to pass. You know, when Israel was walking rebelliously and they were getting into all kinds of disorders, he reminded them and he said, you know, what God is there such as I am? Who can declare it, and then who can bring it to pass, who can fulfill it. He said, I know not any other. There is no other where he can lay it out, what his plan and his purpose is, and then fulfill it and bring it to pass according to his will. That is what you and I are a part of. That is what he is asking. Though he takes those tremendous truths and breaks them down so simply that we can not only understand what he is saying, we can apply it. We can apply it to our homes. We can apply it to our daily walk. We can apply it to our ministry, because the work of the Spirit is to take those truths and impart them unto us. Praise God. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's kind of a surprising thing, that the Lord has given his people. That's you and I he's talking about. He has given us. He has given them. He has given those that have gone before his word. And we have laid hold upon it. And in doing that, it brings a separation into our life. something that you would hardly expect. You would expect that the joy that the Lord has brought into our life, everyone else would just want to share in that. But somehow it brings into our life a separation from the things that relate to this earthly realm. And you know, I remember reading a while ago about a couple of the apostles, I think it was Peter and John, who prayed for this lame person at the gates of the temple. He was begging for money, and they said, well, you know, we don't have any money, but what we have, the Lord has given us things, and we'll give him what the Lord has given us unto you. And they took him by the hands, and immediately his limbs received strength, and he stood, and it was a tremendous miracle. It says he went leaping and praising. I can imagine. You know, that day is among us. Those are not future things. That day stands in our midst. When the Spirit of the Lord is among us, those things are among us. You know, I don't want to get away from the story, but just as part of that, in the time when Israel was going to war with his enemies, sometimes very few would go out to face their enemies, and they would stand together, and we say, we don't know what the Lord is able to do among us, but we will go against our enemy, knowing that he is able to, no matter what it might be, and see tremendous victories that way. The thing that the part that I had read not so long ago was about Jonathan, Saul's son, and his armor bearer, when all of the armies of Israel were hiding in caves. That's not a good thing for an army, you know, to be a battle looming and your soldiers are all in caves hiding. But Jonathan was out with his armor bearer. And he said, you know, if these fellows call us up, that will mean that the Lord is on our side. As he went out to the Philistine garrison, and his armor bearer said, well, whatever is in your heart, I'm with you. That's a good thing. And so they did. They called him up. But Jonathan said, if the Lord is with us, we don't know what he is able to accomplish. And as he went there, those two men defeated that garrison. And it set in motion a tremendous victory. And all of these fellows that were hiding in caves came out to see what was going on. And they turned that around to a tremendous victory for Israel. But that is all that it is. It's just letting the Spirit of the Lord work in us and among us. The result is in His hands. There is no limitation. The only limitation is His will and His purpose and what He has said. But the final result is in His hands. But with these two that prayed for this man, and he was restored, his lameness was healed, you would think that everyone would rejoice. But for that act, for letting the Spirit of the Lord work, for letting the hand of the Lord do what he chose to do, the result in the earthly realm was that they were beaten and thrown into prison. And they were told that they were never to do these things again. Can you imagine that? But there is a separation there. When the Spirit of the Lord is at work in our life, we are not a part of this earthly realm. We are walking in the realms of the Spirit. Praise God. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's important too. You know, we teach our children, we teach our young people, we remind ourselves, the Lord has placed us here, but we are not part of the system. There's an example in the scriptures that I think is helpful to understand the way the Lord is working in the earth. But you know, you can read about King Saul and David, and that example is there in the scripture. And Saul, at some point, the setting of Saul was right. It was the hand of the Lord. But at some point, there was a departure from that careful walk and that careful being directed by the Lord. And it came to the point that must have been that Saul would no longer listen. He would no longer follow that leading. And the Lord came to Samuel and he said, you know, I have removed the kingdom from Saul. And it's like that branch was just cut off. And Samuel sought the Lord about that. He went and he wept before the Lord and he sought the Lord and he cried out before the Lord. And finally it came to the place where the Lord said to him, Samuel, that's enough. That's enough. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to raise up another king. This branch has been removed, and I'm going to raise up another king. But that persisted for some time. And you know, as David came on the scene there as a young lad and began to grow and develop, there was opposition between those two. Not that it was even in David's heart, but there was no coming together. The Lord had cut off the one, and he was raising up the other. And it was something that the Lord himself had purposed, that David would one day take that place of kingship over the nation of Israel. And it's kind of helpful to recognize that the systems of this earth have been cut off. That branch has been cut off, if you like. And there is another branch coming up. And those two will never come together. That one has been removed, and this other one is coming up to take its place. And there might be a lot of obstacles, there might be a lot of difficulties along the way, but it is a sure thing that which the Lord has set in place will come to its fulfillment. Praise God. And as we are a part of that new, a part of that kingdom that the Lord is establishing, we are still walking here, but somehow there is no really coming together with the system of the old and the system of the new. The Lord has set us in His kingdom. Praise God. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. You know, as we speak the things the Lord has laid upon our hearts, as you speak, as you give those things that the Lord has given unto you to give, others will be affected by that. You will be speaking the word of the Lord, and their life will be affected by that. They will be changed by the things that the Lord has placed within your heart. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And he gives us a bit of a glimpse of the end result there, that he is bringing us into that unity that there is with Christ and the Father, that this body will come in to that same unity. And to me, you know, that's something that is, you can't grasp, you know, that the Lord will not only bring us together in unity, but we will also be part of that unity with Christ and the Father and the Spirit. And when he talks about perfect unity, it means that there is nothing in the way at all. There is no hindrances or anything at all that gets in the way of the proper function of that relationship. If we can also just turn to Ezekiel 37. It's just I know this is a familiar passage. And he says, the hand of the Lord, starting at verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that is we've been taught about the coming together of the body and how the Lord is bringing his body together. But it begins that way, where the Spirit of the Lord goes out and he finds us. I don't know, if we talked about our experiences here, everyone would probably have a very different account of how the Lord touched their life. But there would be a common thread in that somehow we were somewhere that the Lord began to draw us. We may have felt as though we were kind of on the outside, that maybe there was a longing that began to arise in our heart for those things that related to the things of the Spirit. That desire began to arise in our heart, and we began to be drawn in. But in some cases, we have come from very different circumstances. And he refers to this valley of dry bones. That, we're here and we're there. And the Spirit of the Lord begins to draw in. Begins to bring in his blessing. And his anointing begins to flow in our life. And we begin to feel and become conscious of the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. That was my experience, being out in that place and thinking, although you don't really plan to start off that way, you think, my plans are going to work out really well. I mean, these things are just going to come together. But in that and in them, there was an absence of something. There was a something there that was missing. Something there that was absent from that walk. And it came to a place where there was a strong desire in my heart, probably not even being able to put it into words exactly what that might be. But there came a strong desire for something more than just seeking after that and seeking after this. And I can remember the occasion, and it was long before camp, and I'm still a young person. I never spoke anything about this to my mother or father, who no doubt were praying along the way, as parents do. But I never said anything to them. But I remember just saying to the Lord, if you provide an opportunity for me, I will give my life to you. When I come to this camp meeting, if you provide the opportunity, I will dedicate my life to you. And the opportunity came, and I did. And my life was transformed by that. Something that was missing became present. In fact, to the extent that all the things that I thought were important were not so important. You kind of have the feeling that somewhere, somehow, what's important will fit in. And what doesn't fit in may go by the way. But it was exactly that process that was taking place, where the Spirit of the Lord, not me, it had nothing to do with my efforts at all. None whatsoever. Maybe the efforts of other members of the body, which would include my parents, no doubt, were looking to the Lord about what the needs were. But the Lord began a work. That work is just exactly the way it's described in Ezekiel there. Reaching out and taking this dry bone that had no purpose, no place, was going nowhere, was doing nothing, and began to draw it in and make it a part of His work and His way and bring it together into some order. And although I am sure that if we were to sit down and talk with everyone, our experiences would be different. There would be some common thread in our experience where, yes, the Lord began to speak to my life, to my heart, and began to draw me in. Even though I didn't fully understand, there was a desire born there to come to the place where the Spirit of the Lord could be in my life. And He has done that. He has brought us together. And as we are coming together, and as we have been taught, as those that have laid out this foundation, they have taught about the coming together of the body. And as we visit some of the places that we are sent to, we are sent by the brethren to go out into various places where doors may seem to be opening. We go into areas that we have never been before. On this past trip, we were traveling in the Congo, very rural, very primitive areas that we've never been before. And you go there and you begin to speak and visit and minister with these folks. And the Spirit of the Lord is doing the same thing there, reaching out and drawing in and bringing together. But you know, as we just stand and look over this congregation that is gathered here. I remember when Brother Luff was opening the camp on the Thursday evening, and it was just a few. A lot of these blank spots have been filled up this morning. It's a beautiful congregation here. But you know, as I stand and am able to look over this congregation, it looks like a collection of people. It looks like a huge variety of individuals that are here, some children, some elderly, and some in between, but a gathering in of people. But what I am not able to see with these natural eyes is what the Lord is really doing. Somehow, if you could put on something that would let you see what the Lord is really doing, it would not be this mixed company of people. I would see a body coming together in perfect order. You coming to your place that the Lord Himself has called you to fit. That only you alone can fill that place. Being joined together with other members of the body. According to His plan. According to His purpose. I would see order coming together here. You would see member coming to member. You would see somehow something that began as a very immature structure being raised up into a place of maturity, being raised up into a place of order, being brought up to hear and to walk under the direction of the anointing of the Spirit. That is a miraculous work of the Spirit among us. It is not limited to this room. Those brothers and sisters that are following the Word of the Lord in places that we have even yet to go are being brought together according to that same pattern, being brought into their place, fitting into that place in the body. And you know, in just reading that passage of Scripture. First of all, we are reading in John, the 17th chapter, where it spoke about Jesus talking to those that the Lord had separated unto Himself. And you can kind of picture some of that, what it might have been like, these people gathering around and listening and being just blessed by all that they are hearing and seeing that company. But somehow it has had its beginning there. The Spirit of the Lord is bringing together a company, not just to hear His Word, not just to gather in and to be ministered to, not just to have our burdens lifted and have our bodies healed, not just to be blessed by the anointing of the Spirit, but to come into a place where the Spirit of the Lord is fitting us in, where we belong in His body. And the direction and the purpose that the Lord is fulfilling in that is to bring together a company of people that will walk and be directed according to His will. Praise God. We are coming together as the body of Christ to fit into that place of ministry under that headship. Not just alone to be blessed by the anointing of the Spirit, although that is part. We are coming into a place for a purpose, to fit into the mind and the plan and the will of God so that He can operate and function through that body that He is bringing together. You know, Jesus recognized when His Father had brought Him to this earth, He recognized that He was there for a specific reason. And as we are being brought and set into our place in the body, it is a similar message. The Lord is fitting us in. He is bringing us in for a purpose that He is set before His body to accomplish. Perhaps He kind of pulls back the curtain a little bit from time to time and gives us little glimpses. But no doubt there is much that is there within the head to be revealed of where and how this body will operate and minister. But we are coming together in that place, in that operation, in that unity, not only amongst ourselves, but with our Father and with the head, coming into that unity for a purpose, to fulfill His will, to be directed under the headship and follow the leading of His Spirit. If we can just quickly turn to Revelations 14 and 3. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song but the 144 and 4,000 who were redeemed from the earth. And of course, there's always a lot of speculation about those kind of things. But it's the same. I mean, these things are no different. Until the Lord really begins to unfold, there's really not much benefit in trying to move ahead of that. But when He unfolds, it's simple. I think somebody has mentioned something about that this weekend, but that has certainly been my experience, and possibly yours as well, that you wonder about things, but when the Lord has revealed it, you think, where was I all this time? You know, it's just there. You can't help but see it. It's so plain. But the Lord is working that way. He is gathering those that He has redeemed. These are they who are not defiled with women, which I believe kind of refers to being contaminated with the things of this earth. For they are virgins. They are separated. They are walking that separated walk. These follow the Lamb wherever He goeth. And that is the relationship between us and the head. Now, just thinking as an example, a number of years ago in our own family, there was a time when my wife and I, before we were married, we had a relationship. I mean, we were writing to one another. I was going to university. We were writing letters back and forth, and that relationship was building. And it came to the point where we were married. We were married, and we lived in Edmonton for a few years. And that relationship came to that place where we were joined together in marriage. And when we were living in Edmonton, our circumstances changed, and I found employment in Ontario. And as we were talking this over, you know, how this was going to work out, there was never any thought that, well, my wife might just stay in Edmonton because she likes Edmonton and she's kind of familiar with there, and I'll just go and work and we'll write letters back and forth. You know, that wasn't part of the conversation. Not at all. She was intimately thrown into the circumstances that I was in. And we were working together to find the direction. And there is no way in the world that, that would happen, that I would be in Ontario while she was in Edmonton. For one thing, I needed her to be with me. There was that unity between us. We were one. And as it was required for me to go there, she was a part of that. And that relationship just seemed to stand out in that passage. That they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing that is. Here is the head. You know, he's not interested in kind of sending His letters once in a while to let us know how things are going. Not interested in that. It might begin that way. But there is a relationship that is very close. It is very close. What affects Him affects us. What He is doing, we are totally involved in. When He begins to set the direction this way, we are absolutely a part of that. We are one together with Him, with the head. What a wonderful relationship in that. Praise God. I'd just like to read, we don't have a lot of time here, but I'd just like to read, kind of refer a little bit, I guess, to the husband and wife relationship. This goes in Genesis 2, 18 and 23. And it just seems that in the last little while, the Lord is kind of emphasizing our family and our relationship and the husband and wife relationship. And there's just something there that just seemed to be applicable. This is Genesis 2, 18 to 23. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help fit or suitable for him." And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help fit or suitable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she is taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And the thing that just seemed to stand out in that passage was the level or the depth of that unity, that relationship between husband and wife. And it's like the Lord took something of Himself, something of Adam, and He created this partner for Him. And they were joined together in such a way that they could not be separated. You could not distinguish where Adam stopped and Eve began. It was like one unit there. And he joined them together. And that relationship exists today. That's a spiritual thing. That the Lord has done that. And it's a miracle. I mean, it's miraculous. My wife and I were out for a walk yesterday up in the fields across there. As she wanted to look at see if there's any spring flowers out and those sort of things. And I love to be with her. I don't have a lot of interest in flowers. And as we were walking across the field, she said, "Oh, look out, you just stepped on a crocus." Well, I'll tell you, if she wasn't there, I probably would step on a whole lot and I would finish what I was doing and I would be oblivious to that. But we couldn't be in those aspects. We couldn't be more different. There couldn't be greater differences. Oftentimes we will, be at a service or something, and my wife will point out that, she seems to be like there might be some issues between some of the ladies or something. Just mention something. I would be oblivious, just like stepping on that crocus. There's differences and things that are sort of front and center for me that, I just love and just can't get enough time doing. She has no interest whatsoever. And yet, the Spirit of the Lord takes those things that are so different and makes them one in such a way that you cannot divide them. You cannot say, well, he stops here and she begins there. They are one flesh. I just read you something else here. And this is in Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Where he's talking, doing a comparison between the husband and wife relationship and Christ and the church. I have to worry about this Bible. It's 30 years old and pages are falling out. Sometimes I wonder if whole books aren't missing. Sometimes I'm trying to find things. So this is Ephesians 5 and starts at 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And he talks there about that relationship between us and Christ. And he uses the same words as between Adam and Eve. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. Inseparable. You cannot say that, the head stops here and the body begins here. He has brought them, he has brought and is bringing his body into that perfect place of unity, where they are one. He holds the office of headship. We hold the office of submitting to that work of the head. We work together in absolute harmony and in absolute unity. These are not things that are strange and foreign to us. We see the Spirit of the Lord bringing it to pass. We see it in our homes. We see it in our families. We are beginning to expect to see those things to come to be present there in a greater measure. But we are seeing the hand of the Spirit of the Lord working and bringing those things to pass among us today. Those are things that is a genuine result of the work of the Spirit among us. And it is a miracle. It is a miracle. The fact that you and I, from different walks of life, from different experiences, can come together and be a part of that body and flow together in absolute harmony is nothing short of a miracle. That has nothing to do with your ability to be a good person that fits in. That has nothing to do with my ability to be humble and let other brethren kind of guide and direct and to fit into that. It has nothing to do with our own efforts. It has everything to do with the genuine work of the Spirit among us. It cannot fail. It cannot help but bring to pass the full a work of the Spirit until it comes to that absolute place of perfection. It cannot stop. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be deterred. It cannot be prevented. It can only come to its fullness until it is complete. And the Spirit of the Lord looks upon it once again as He looked upon His creation in the beginning, and He says, it is good. It is right. It is exactly according to the pattern. And it is beginning to operate even as the head Himself has determined that it will operate. And as that body comes together in perfect order and harmony with Christ as the head, it comes together for the purpose of the restoration of His whole works of His hands. That work will not stop and it will not be deterred until that body, working together in perfect harmony with the head, who is in subjection to His Father and the Spirit, working together, bringing to pass that full and complete restoration. It will come to that day when the Spirit of the Lord looks over the works of His hands and He will say once again, it is good and it is right and it is exactly according to the pattern. My government and my kingdom is in order. My people dwell in a place of safety. They walk under the headship that is right and is directing them right. They fulfill their place in the body. They minister with authority and power, not of their own strength, not of their own doing, but that power from the head flows down through the body and does the work that has to be done. It cannot be stopped. There is no barrier. You know, when we stand and we pray for individuals, from a human aspect, you cannot see how the hand of the Lord can work. From the spiritual aspect, He cannot see how He can fail. He looks upon those things and desires to do them according to His will. He wants to see the body come to the place where His will just flows and accomplishes His purpose. That is a walk of maturity. That is a walk of growing up into the head. But I'll tell you this, that walk and that process is in progress today. As the Spirit of the Lord is working and walking among us, we are being transformed by His power. We are fitting in by the work of His Spirit into that place that He has called us to walk. You know, just before these meetings, we had a time of meeting together with the brethren, dealing with a number of things that were there to be discussed and dealt with. And you can begin to see the unity that is coming. Not because these are guys of such great personalities, which they are. They are. But we all have our little quirks, you know, that kind of get in the way. But it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the genuine work of the Spirit among us. But you know, He says that unity must come for His work to be accomplished. And somehow you can recognize that. You know, it talks about in Psalms 133 that when that unity is amongst brethren, there the Lord commands His blessing. And you can see that as we are discussing these issues, when that unity prevails, you can go forward and do the work that has to be done. If that unity was not there, the first thing that would have to happen was that would have to be fixed. There would be no doing of what the Lord had in mind. That unity would have to come, and then the Spirit of the Lord would work and do what He wants to do. Let the Lord help us. Let us just let the Lord help us in these things, including in our homes. Our homes must follow that pattern. There is no other pattern. There is no other way. He is bringing us into that kingdom relationship, and that is the order of the home, that perfect relationship. You know, when they, and I'll just close with this, but when the Pharisees were trying to ask Jesus some hard questions, they said, well, you know, that husband and wife relationship, why is it that Moses gave them the opportunity to exercise divorce? And Jesus said to them, they thought they had a tough question there. You know, there's a tough question. How can he kind of walk both sides? But Jesus said, you know, it's because of the hardness of your hearts. Because it was not so from the beginning. He made husband and wife. He made that. There is nothing wrong with that design that he had made. But he said, it is because of the hardness of your heart. That unwillingness to yield. The design is right, but all this stuff gets in between. We have stuff in our life, in our marriage that oftentimes gets in the way. I joke with this about with our kids, and you know, Marie and I have been married for, it'll be 39 years this fall, and we know one another pretty well. And I can very easily get her riled up. Very easy. And we kind of joke about that, you know. I know just what to say, that she'll be like this. But, you know, and there's things. And she knows, you know, if I'm working on something and it's not going well, that's not a good time to have kind of a quality time together. And I know that. I know while it's happening, I know that. It's there. And I don't like it. You know, things are, you know, you might be building something or working on something and it's not going well. And I just get miserable, you know, and she knows enough to just kind of, you know, just let that run its course or whatever. But I know that is there. I know it. And while it's going on, I don't like it. You know, you don't feel right about it, you know, that is there. But it is. And that gets in the way of that relationship. It's like, there's this perfect design, but there's stuff in there that gets in the way. And if I harden my heart and say, there's nothing wrong here, this is the way I am and this is the way it's going to be, and I will not yield to what the Lord might want to do, that could bring it to a place where that relationship could not last. It could do that. It could have that effect. But He wants me to know, you know, when I'm upset and I'm mad and, you know, things aren't going well, He's speaking to my heart about that. And I'm not feeling good about that. And the next time around, I'm trying to do it a little bit better. And as He is able to kind of sweep those interfering things out, that relationship between us should improve. And hopefully it will come to some point someday when it is as it ought to be. But the Lord is working on us to those ends. He has set out a right pattern, and He's raising up a people that will walk in it and fulfill it. Praise God. Lord bless you.